Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Sadiches. It's 98 in Zvachim. Okay, good. All right, we are back on Sadi Zion. Okay, so we let's catch up today. Let's finish up to the end of the parak. The parak ends on the back end of Sadiches. And basically, it's a short daf and relatively straightforward. So let's really try to finish up. The mission we started yesterday is a mission about blia, about the absorption of taste from one carbon to another carbon. Right, we spoke yesterday in depth about this mitzvah of merikah shtifa, rinsing, koshering, and rinsing the kelim in the base of mikdash. They were used for carbon. Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim. What exactly merikah and shtifa are? Practical difference between the Rebbe and the Chachamim. I'm still yet to figure that one out. But the Mishnah, we quickly ran through the Mishnah. I'm going to read the Mishnah again, and then we'll take it from there. So we're on the Mishnah on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Bishabu kashu v'chulan okachu kashu v'kachu kalam im yesh ben benos nintam harek akam ne'acham kechamorim. So the rule is very simple. If I cook foods together and one infuses a taste into the other, so whichever food, in this case carbon, whichever carbon is more chamor is more strict, so then that combination follows the chamor, it follows the strict. The ainam tuna mariko shtifa, and it doesn't require mariko shtifa. I told you yesterday, I'll repeat again today, that line of the Mishnah is extraordinarily difficult to understand, and it doesn't require mariko shtifa. Of course it requires mariko shtifa. That's the whole point, is that because the pot absorbed the taste of the carbon, and you know the taste of the carbon is going to become nosar, so you have to kasha the pot. So the Mishnah saying the words einam tu unimriko shtifa, of course, is difficult, if not impossible, to understand. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to fix that up. Einam poslim b'maga, and it doesn't possible b'maga with the contact of an individual. And Rashi explains them nifsulu hakalim. If the lighter carbon, so to say, becomes puzzle, and it touches and absorbs into another carbon, it doesn't puzzle the other carbon. And again, I'm going to reiterate what I said yesterday. That's also very difficult to understand. Of course it's going to puzzle the other one. It absorbed the taste of the puzzle. And again, when we get to the Mishnah is going to also fix that up as well. Rakik shenaga v'rakik v'chaticha v'chaticha lo kol harakikim v'lo kol hachaticha sasurim eino asur ela b'makum shabala. You have a contact between foods. Now, I mentioned this yesterday. In general, you should know that in order for a taste to impart into another taste, you need a medium. The taste has to transfer. Usually the medium is, not usually, always, it's a liquid. In other words, so I cook something in a liquid, so the taste is infused and the taste goes all the way through. It's bolea bakulo, it transfers totally. If I have two solid foods touching one another, and a contact between two solid foods, even if the foods are hot, not even, if the two foods are hot, they have to be hot. If the two foods are hot, so there's going to be also a transfer of taste, but not, it's not bolea bekulo. It doesn't transfer all the way through. But rather, it only transfers a little bit. Right? We'd like to quantify, right? We're legal experts. We'd like to know how much it would transfer through. So the Mishnah doesn't give us that good a quantification. The Mishnah says, ela b'makum shabala. Right? It only goes only to the place of contact. Okay, so later on, we'll have a better understanding of what that means, but still the basic idea we get, that if the two solid foods touch one another, that doesn't create a bona fide blia, doesn't create a full blia, I should say. All right, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off my Kamar. All right, the Gemara's question is a very simple question. What's the Mishnah saying? How do you understand the Mishnah? It doesn't make any sense, as I pointed out. So the Gemara starts off, im yesh ben benos nintam hari akam nechom kechamorim, it's a serious correction of the Mishnah, right? And what the Gemara is simply going to do now is it's going to break up the Mishnah into two parts. Okay, the first part is where there is a nesinas tam. If there's a nesinas tam, if there's taste that was imparted from one carbon to another carbon, so now, or one carbon into another food, a non-carbon, so it's easy. So the food is going to adopt all the chumras of the carbon, the pot's going to require marika shtifa, and if that carbon is pasul, that which it makes contact to is also going to be pasul. Okay, and ein b'hem b'nos in tam, in the second half of the Mishnah, is that if there isn't nesinas tam, ein akam ne'achal b'chamorim, ve'ein tu'un emriku shtifa, ve'ein poslim b'maga. Alright, and so what we did is we basically unfolded the Mishnah. The Mishnah really is a contraction of these two parts, whether it's the first part is yesh ben benos in tam. The second part is ein ben benos in tam. Somehow the Mishnah got contracted to the point where we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't make any sense. The Gemara, so to say, unfolded the Mishnah now into two separate parts, and now of course it makes perfect sense. Now, ask the Gemara the following question: Nehi dekachi kachim lo bau kachim kalim nibaye. So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused because our Mishnah discusses the following scenario where I have, the Mishnah gave a couple of cases, kushim v'chulin, right? Carbon that gets mixed up with non-carbon. Okay, that's fine, that's easy. And then the next case in the Mishnah was kushim kushim v'kushim kalim, right? Where I have chatas, asham, ola, get cooked together with shlamim. And now even after we unfolded the Mishnah, you know what the Mishnah is saying to us? The Mishnah is saying to us is that if there's no nesinas tam, if the chatas does not impart taste into the shlamim, so then you're good. You don't need to do marika ushtifa, and it doesn't become pasul. What? It's the mixture is kachim kachim with kachim kalim. So even if there is no nesinas tam, even if I can't taste the chatas, but still, I have shlamim right there in the pot. So, right, shouldn't I have to kasha the pot because of the shlamim? So the Gemara, this is exactly the Gemara's question. The Gemara is going to provide two answers. Amar Abaye, my ain to unim to kamar, kachim kachim. Aba kachim kalim to unim. Abaye's answer is very simple. You're right, meaning when the Mishnah's point was it doesn't require kashering, meaning mitzah, the carbon chatas, it doesn't require kashering, but of course there is kachim kalim there, and mitzah, the kachim kalim, it's going to require kashering. Rava Amar Hamani Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachim Kalim into an Amriku Shtifa. And Rava gives another answer, which is based on what we learned yesterday, which is there is a Tana, the Tana of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that there is no requirement of Amriku Shtifa, no special requirement of Amriku Shtifa if it's Kachim Kalim. It's only by Kachim Kachim. I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara did this yesterday, that the Psukim themselves refer really to Kachim Kachim, not to Kachim Kalim. And Rabbi Shimon says that there's no halacha of Mariko Shtifa by Kachim Kalim. So it could be that our Mishnah, and even though it's anonymous, is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Bisham al Rabbi, I know Diktanio Kachim Kachim, Kachim Kalim. Allah Abaye Tarti Lamali. So the Gemara points out that according to Rava, it's actually very good. Because our Mishnah gave us two examples, Kachim and Chulin, and kashim kashim and kashim kalim, and according to Rav, it's perfect because the point the Mishnah is now making is our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. So that part we get, but according to Abaye, our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Shimon. So why give two examples? And the two examples are only there to confuse us then. So the Gemara says, no, tzrichi, no. Even according to Abaye, the two examples are necessary. Di'itan kashim v'chulin, if the Mishnah only would have given us the first case, where I cook together kashim v'chulim, havem v'chulim hudim avatle, kashim delav minayu. Aval kashim kashim v'kashim kalim eim alo. So the Gemara says, look, because I could make the argument that kashim v'chulin, chulin is more mevatel, because it's really so dissimilar. Chulin is so dissimilar from Kachim, so I might have thought that it's going to be Mavato. However, Kachim, Kachim, Kalim, they're both Karbanos. I might have thought it might not have been subject to Bittul. The Itanim Kachim, 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 Kalim, Avamina Kachim, Hu, the Alima Levitule Kachim, Avachulin, Emalotricha. And I might have made a counter argument. If the mission would have only given me the case of Kashim Kashim and Kashim Kalim, I might have thought, look, I know, right, we're talking about Bittul Tam, the nullification of taste, but it's a taste of a carbon. I might have thought, this is just a Havamina, but it is a Havamina. I might have thought that I need something strong to be Mavato the taste. Chulin, non-sacred food, that's not really, it can't really be Mavato the taste. I need something, with the Gemara's terminology is Alima. I need something stronger. Like another type of kachim, kachim kalim. So that's in the Havamina. It's a difficult Havamina to understand, quite frankly, because we're talking about bitzel tam, we're talking about the nullification of taste. Either taste is there or it's not there. Okay, so it's a difficult Havamina, but still the Gemara is suggesting that's why I need both cases. Okay. Rikik shehigia b'riyasha naga v'rikik. If I have one wafer get mixed up, not mixed up. If I have one wafer that touches another wafer, so we say that there's an infusion of taste, but not b'kulo, and it's not bole b'kulo. It only is the point of contact. Tana rabbanan. Kol asher yigal yachol afilu shelo bala. So the Gemara says, I might have had a havamina, even if there's no bli of the, even if there's no absorption of taste. Tamar lamar bifsara. Achivala bifsara. So, no, there has to be a bliya. In other words, even though the Torah expresses it as negiya, now negiya just simply means touch, but touch is not enough. It has to be a transfer of taste. Now, if two pieces of carbon, we're not talking about in a liquid, just simply two solid pieces of carbon touch one another, I might have thought that the whole thing, one would be totally disqualified. Tamar lamar yiga hanogea pasal. Only the point of contact. So haketzad chotech es makom shebala bifzara v'lo begidim v'lo betzaros v'lo pekanaim v'lo petalafim. So it's the point of contact. Now, how much is the point of contact? So again, the Gemara is not really clear. We normally assume throughout the halacha it's kedei etzpa. So if two foods make contact with one another, so the amount that you have to take off is about an inch. An inch of the surface area of the point of contact, and that's it. Now the halacha does get a little more intricate, and the Gemara here doesn't discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch discusses cases where the piece of meat is a very fatty piece of meat, and then the fat may be a conductor and conduct the taste throughout the entire piece of meat. Something to consider, but generally, okay, that's important. But generally speaking, if two dry foods make contact with one another, and the two foods are hot, so then the halach is that the only transfer of taste is a kedei netila, only about an inch worth of the point of contact.
Wouldn't you say time will be a factor also? If you do it immediately, like as touches and you cut immediately.
I know, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make such a distinction.
If they're cold,
nothing.
No transfer.
Nothing. Cold, no transfer. V'lo beginim, v'lo batamas, v'lo bekanam, v'lo betalafin. And obviously none of this applies to the hard parts of the animal, the sinews, the bones, hooves and horns and hooves. Yikdash liyos kamawa. And the word, what does the word yikdash mean? Right? Kol anogea b'am yikdash. Yikdash means it adopts the full strictures, regulations of whatever it made contact with. Ha ketzad? How does that work exactly? Im psulei tipasov, im cheri hitochal, kecham shaba. Very simple. If what it touched was pasul, so then that which it is now, that what it is now, is pasul. If that which it touched is not pasul, but just more strict, more chamor, so then the point of contact, it takes on the role of being more strict. Very simple. Okay. Basic question of the Gemara coming up right now. Listen to this, very interesting question. Amai. V'nesi asay, v'litche eslosa asay. Gemara says, wait a second. There's a mitzvah asay, there's a positive commandment. Right? When we talk about carbon, we say that you have to eat carbon. Mm-hmm. Right? The Rashi quotes the pasuk v'achlu osam. Right? There's a mitzvah, there's a positive commandment to eat carbon. Obviously not an ola, but we're not talking about ola. We're talking about chatas asham, we're talking about shlamim. There's a mitzvah to eat these karbanos. And then, on the other hand, we have a low sase, a negative prohibition, that if a karban becomes pasul, so you're not allowed to eat the karban, which is pasul. So the Gemara says, in general, why don't we suggest the following? Nesi ase velitche es low sase. So let the positive commandment of eating karban override the prohibition of not eating a pasul karban. Basic question, really extraordinarily basic question. Now, Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. The first answer really is a fundamental answer. Amar Rava, ein oseh doches lo saseh shebemikdash. So answer number one goes like this. We have a general rule that we apply throughout Shas, which is aseh dochel saseh, the positive commandment overrides the negative commandment. Let me give you two quick examples of where we see this concept come up throughout the Gemara. Example number one is Tchelos B'Tzitzis. This is the model example, the model case. I have a linen bag of the linen garment. Linen garment has four corners on it, and now it's subject to the rules of requiring tzitzis. I can't put on the linen garment until I put strings on all four corners. Okay. Tzitzis are made out of wool strings. Right? Tchelis. The blue wool is wool. And if I'm going to tie wool strings onto a linen garment, I've just violated the iser of shatnes, wool and linen. So what do? So I say dochelos, I say the positive commandment of making and having tzitzis is going to override the negative prohibition of shatnes. Okay, that's one example. Another example the Gemara comes up with, not here, other places, is mila b'makamila. Right? Let's say you have a mitzvah of mila, and it happens to be that the makam hamila, the area where you're about to circumcise, has tzaras. Right? A tzaras, what we incorrectly call leprosy, but it's tzaras on the makam hamila. We know there's an issur in the Torah that when a person has tzaras, he's not allowed to cut it off. He has to show it to the kohen, and he has to wait till it heals naturally. He can't cut off the tzaras. But the bris milah is a mitzvah. And so, once again, it's a confrontation between the bris, the mitzvah samila, and the iser of not cutting off the tzaras. And again, ase dochelos, ase, the positive commandment, is going to override the negative commandment. And what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, I have a mitzvah, I have a positive commandment of eating carbon. I have a negative prohibition of not eating a carbon, which becomes disqualified. So why don't we have the positive commandment override the negative commandment? The first answer the Gemara provides is, this doesn't work in the mikdash. Aseh being dochelos, aseh doesn't work in the mikdash. The svar behind that, I'm not sure. Right? We have to really apply ourselves to think of what a possible svara would be in terms of why this doesn't apply in the mikdash. The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't give us svara, but the Gemara does give us precedent. Listen to the Gemara's precedent. Shenemar, how do I know this? Look at the following case. Etzem lo sish b'rubo. Rabbi Shimon ben Anasi Omer, echad etzem sheish b'moch, v'echad etzem shein b'moch. You know, when you have the Karman Pesach, you're not allowed to break bone. Karman Pesach has to be eaten in totality. When you cook the Karman Pesach has to be cooked in totality. You take the entire lamb, you put it on a spit, right, through the mouth all the way to the other end, to the posterior, and you roast it over a fire. And that's it. And you eat the meat, but you're not allowed to break bone. Now, you know, I've already made full admission that I happen to like marrow. And marrow is meat. I understand. It's not, you know, it's not the muscle, it's not muscle meat, but still, it's meat. It's edible part of the animal. And so one can make the argument, well, here's what I should do. With my Karban Pesach, I should get to the marrow, break the bone in order to get to the marrow, so I'll eat Karban Pesach. But once again, we're in that point of confrontation, where there's a mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach, and there's an iser, there's a negative prohibition of etzem lo sish b'rubo. So, how about this? How about allow the positive commandment to eat the Karban Pesach come along and override the negative prohibition of etzem lo sish b'rubo? So the Gemara says, etzem lo sish b'rubo, Shem Menasya says, you can't, even if the bone has marrow in it. And even if you like marrow, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. So ve'echad etzem shein b'moach. So, and here the Gemara now articulates, amai, nesi aseh v'letzches lo saseh. So why don't we allow the mitzvah saseh to override the negative prohibition? Ela ein oseh doches lo saseh shebemikdash. So this is the conclusion of answer number one. Because it doesn't work in the mikdash. You can't do this in the mikdash. So a couple of interesting things over here. First of all, what we've done is the word mikdash over here.
It's expanded.
Okay, good. You picked up on that also, right? The word mikdash over here doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash, because we all know Karban Pesach is not eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. Karban Pesach is only shlamim, right? Only, I mean, relatively speaking, it's only a shlamim. You can eat it. You can go back home, assuming your home is in Yerushalayim, and you can eat in your house. So what we'll say over here, okay? I'm not not making any big statements, any bold statements, is that the word mikdash over here is to be used very loosely. Mikdash over here just simply means sanctified area, meaning all of Yerushalayim, the place that you're allowed to eat karbon. The Rambam famously says that whenever the Gemara refers to mikdash, it's referring to all of Yerushalayim, not just the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is referring to that structure over there, but Mikdash refers to the general area of Yerushalayim. That's the Makom Mikudash, the sanctified area. That's interesting, point number one. Okay, number two.
Did you accept that?
Rambam feels strongly that way. According to the Rambam, you know, you want a chumra, you want a stringency. So, we don't lulav and esrog, right, for all 7 days. That's only mitzvah derabanan. The mitzvah in the Torah is to only shake the lulav and esrog day one. After that, Rav Yocham and Zaka came along and said, let's remember the Beis HaMikdash, so we'll take lulav and esrog all 7 days. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to take lulav and esrog all 7 days. So according to the Rambam, once you walk into Yerushalayim, you're in the Mikdash. So now you have to take lulav and esrog, not just on a level of derabanan, but on a level of daraisa. So some people, I don't know that many people, but some people on Sukkot, if they walk into Yerushalayim on Sukkot, well, they say, look, I'm now in the Mikdash, so now I'll take again lulav and esrog, even if they took it earlier in the morning. Okay, there's a chumra for you.
Without a bracha, other things that you cannot take outside of.
Okay, I just I understand. I just gave you one example, but
my son.
There's
a breaking the bone. Can you cut the bone? No. Damage to the bone.
No. Yes.
Can you compare brit mila to the
korban?
You can always.
Oh, so let's go on to another point over here. Tosfos echad etzem shein ba malach v'amai nesi asei. You see that Tosfos? Second Tosfos is on the page. Skip down to the third wide line on the page. V'im tomar. And Tosfos over here asks a fundamental question, because really what we're dealing with is the general topic of asei dochelos asei, positive commandment overriding a negative prohibition. Right? That's our general discussion over here. So v'im tomar. I'll read in Tosfos. Shani hacha mishum de efshel lekayim shneim de. It's possible to do both, right? We have a general rule that the only time we're going to entertain this idea of ase being dochelos ase is only if the only way I can fulfill the positive commandment is by violating the negative prohibition. Look at the two examples that I gave before we started with the Gemara. Right? Bris Mila and Tzaras. So the only way I could do the Bris Mila is by cutting off the Makam Tzaras. I can't get around it. So then we're going to say positive commandments overriding the negative prohibition. The other example, Tzitzis. The same story. Meaning I have a linen garment. Right? I'm allowed to make a linen garment. I have a linen garment with four corners. So now what? Now the only thing left to do is to put Tzitzis on it. So it's, I can't be Mekayim Shneim. Over here, the Gemara says, I could do both, meaning not violate the Isser of Etzem Lo Tish Berubo, and still
get the Moach.
Drill a hole into the bone. That's not breaking. And Tosfos attempts to give an answer to this. Another point in Tosfos. Look at the last line of the Tosfos. Second to last line of the Tosfos. All right, so that's one issue. Maybe I can be Mekayim Shneihem. Okay. And then Tosfos says, and another thing. Right. Another point to consider. You can only use this rule of ase dochelos ase when the two things are happening simultaneously. They have to be concurrent events. Again, go back to my examples that I just gave. The example of Mila b'tzaras, Tzaras b'Mila. So at the very same time that I'm cutting off the tzaras, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of milah. Then we're going to employ the rule of asei tochelos asei, or the moment that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of attaching the strings to tzitzis, I'm also violating the prohibition of shatnez. They're happening concurrently. Tosfos over here is bothered. Here in this case, what are we suggesting? Break the bone so I can get to the malach. That's not concurrent. First I break the bone, then I get to the malach. And we can't employ the rule of ase dochelos ase.
Breaking one is part of the eating it.
Okay, good. So that's a possible answer. Tosfos doesn't give that answer over here, but good. Okay, it's a very good answer to not the answer, but a suggestion that was made up front is that maybe breaking the bone is part of the act of eating. Okay.
How is that?
Okay, it requires more.
Like taking a piece of meat off the bone is part of eating it.
Right. So breaking the bone may be part of eating it. Okay.
Not at the same time.
I understand that. Tosfos doesn't answer this question. Tosfos leaves the question unresolved. That could be part of the answer. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. All right. So answer number one. So again, what really general broad question over here of the Gemara. Why not eat a carbon that becomes disqualified? Because there's a mitzvah to eat carbon. And let the mitzvah saseh be overriding the lowest saseh. So answer number one is, this doesn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that because of the etzem lo tish b'ru bohu principle. Answer number two, Rav Ashi Amar, yikdash aseh, who, ve'in, excuse me, osed doche, is lo saseh va'aseh. An answer which the Gemara uses every now and then is that it's not just asay versus lo saasay, it's asay versus two things, asay and lo saasay. The prohibition to eat carbon that becomes disqualified is two things. It is a lo saasay, and it's also a mitzvah saasay. The Gemara says yikdash kol anogea b'hem yikdash. That yikdash teaches us that it becomes what its friend is. So if its friend is pasul, it becomes pasul, and now therefore it is subject to the positive commandment of yikdash. So now it's ase being doche.
And what kind of ase comes along with that? What's the ase with that?
What's the ase?
Yeah.
That it becomes like a chattas.
Right, I was going to say that also. Right, right. That's, okay. Fine. All right, and now for the remainder of today's daf, it's really straightforward, and hopefully we'll get through that part. That part was a tricky part, I have to tell you, and it's good also. Tricky and it's good also because it really touches on fundamental core issues of asay being dochelos asay. How does that principle apply in the base of mikdash? Right. Using the model of etzem lo tish b'ru bo, Tosfos's question of how is etzem lo tish b'ru bo a good case study of asay being dochelos asay? Very just overarching issues of the Gemara. Here the Gemara, from this point forward, the Gemara is just really going to be, it's going to be an accounting. Let's see the Gemara inside. We have this rule that when one carbon touches another carbon, so kol asher yigah b'hem yikdash. That pasuk is by the carbon chatas. How do I know that this rule applies to all other carbonos as well? It does. It applies to all other carbonos. The Mishnah makes no distinction whatsoever which carbon touched what. Anytime there's a contact and there's a transfusion of taste, so then we're going to say kol asher yigah b'hem yikdash. How do I know that it applies to other carbonos? And here the Gemara gives us the nuts and bolts of that discussion. Ashkechan chatas dimiskadesh bebalua shar kachem inalan. How do I know that this applies to other kachem as well? So Amar Shmuel Mishum Rav Elazar Zos HaTorah La'olah L'mincha L'chatas L'Hashem L'Imulim U'L'Zevach HaShlamim. Sounds like I'm singing the Kakeli of Musaf. It's actually a pasuk. The Torah puts together in one pasuk all the different types of karbanos. So it's a hekesh. It's a super hekesh, where all the karbanos are lumped together. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take various halachas of one karban and apply to all the sets of karbanos based on this pasuk. And what the Braisa is going to do, is it Braisa? I don't know. Doesn't seem that way. What the Gemara is about to do right now is it's going to go through each one of these karbanos that were mentioned in the pasuk, take out a halacha, and make it universal and apply it to all karbanos. La'ola ki ola ma, I'm sorry, la'ola ki ola. Ma'ola tu nakli, af kol tu nakli. So what do we get from the carbon? La'ola requires a vessel. It requires a kli sharis. So my kli, what kli sharis are we talking about? Ilema mizrak b'sham, it's ibanam iksiv b'hu. So what do you want to tell me? That there's a bowl? That when I collect the blood, I have to collect the blood in a bowl? That halacha is not just mentioned by the carbon ola. We see it by Shamit Zibor. It says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe took half the blood from the carbon that was offered at Har Sinai, and he placed it in bowls. And that's coming from the Shamit Zibor. Elad the Sakin. So the Gemara says that it must be talking about a Sakin. That when you cut, you have to cut with a knife. Right? In the world, in the general world of Shechita, you don't need to cut with a knife. Right, you just need to cut something with a sharp object. In Hilcha Shechita, when we get to Chulin, we're going to see that's inside. You could use a stone, you could use a reed. Now you could use any sharp instrument. When it comes to a carbon, you must use a sock and you must use a metal blade. The Ola Gufa Minalan. How do I know that? Where do I see that from? Interesting source. Dichsiv Vayishlach Avraham Es Yado Vayikaches Amachelas. Because we see it by Kedas Yitzchak, right? The first carbon. Well, almost. It's not the first carbon, but almost.
Well, the ram.
No, right?
The ram. The ram.
Right? Noah brought the first carbon, and you can go back even a little bit earlier. Cain and Hevel brought a carbon as well. Right? Yitzchak was about to become a carbon. Now we know, of course, that Yitzchak was an Ola.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's not go anywhere else with that discussion. So you know that Yitzchak was an Ola. Because when we found the aisle, there was caught in the bushes, the ram. So the ram was brought as an Ola Tachas Beno instead of the son. So you see that the son, Yitzchak, was supposed to be an Ola. Okay, fine. So that is the halacha that we're taking from Ola, that it has to be shechted with a knife, not any other object. Even if it's a sharp blade, a sharp instrument, it's no good, it has to be a knife. Good. Mincha ma mincha ina nechalas ela zichre kuhuna, avkol ina nechalam ela zichre kuhuna. Mincha is eaten by zichre kuhuna, so too, all other kashim are eaten by zichre kuhuna. Mayi, ichat is vashem bachik sivahu, so the Gemara says, wait a second. Chatos and Ashim, which are also Kachik Kachim, the Pasuk tells us that Zichre Kuhuna eat Chatos and Ashim. The Pasuk says, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochlena. V'Isham Et Zibor. And if you want to tell me that maybe what it's coming to teach us is Sham Et Zibor, the communal Shlamim offering. There's not a lot of that. There's very little of that. But still, the communal Sham Et Zibor is eaten only by Zichre Kuhuna. And the Gemara is saying that we learn it from this Hekesh. So the Gemara says, "Mi ribui the cross." I know that comes from another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bekadosh Hakadoshim Tochlena Kol Zachar Yochalaso Limid Hashamik Tzibur Sheinam Neachalim." We have another drasha that tells us that the Shamik Tzibur are eaten by Zichre Kuhuna, and the Gemara answers very simply, "Tanaihi." It's the machlokas Tanaim where I get this halacha from. Ika Danafkalei Mehacha, Ika Danafkalei Mehacha. Okay, so some get it from here, and some get it from here. So fine, Chatas. Machatas miskadeshes bebalua, avkol miskadeshes babalua. This is the whole reason why we're quoting this drasha of Shmuel, which is we want to get to the part of the chatas. We're going to take the halacha that we know by chatas, the halacha of blia, where one carbon absorbs another carbon. The Torah says kol asher yigabahem yikdash. That's by chatas, but because of our super hekesh, it applies to all other carbonas as well. Okay, what are we going to learn out from Asham? Ma Asham ain't Shpir Vishalya Kadoshbo. I've called ain't Shpir Vishalya Kadoshbo. Now, by the carbon Asham, the placenta and the fetus do not have Kedusha for a really simple reason. The carbon Asham is a male animal, right? So it doesn't have a placenta and a fetus. Okay, now, okay.
What?
Huh? Ola also is male.
Right.
But we already learned out a halacha from Ola. We learned the halacha of knife. So we got to learn out a new halacha from Asham. So the halacha is going to be that the fetus and the placenta don't have kedusha. Now, you'll come back at me and you'll say to me, but they don't have a placenta and they don't have a fetus. So what are we talking about? Meaning, and so the Gemara makes that very observation. So first of all, kasavar vlados kashim beavyasan hen kadoshim. Two assumptions are going into this part of the Gemara. Assumption number one is that carbon only becomes sanctified after they're born. Okay, that is the age-old issue of ubar yerech imo or lav yerech imo. When you have a fetus, is the fetus considered a limb of its host, its mother, or is it not considered a limb of its mother? It's considered a separate entity. Machlokis throughout all of Shas. So we're going to take the position that it only becomes sanctified as it comes out. That's number one. Number two, danem efshar mishiyef shar, and also another assumption over here is that we're learning from Asham. What are you learning from Asham? That the fetus and placenta don't become sanctified? They don't have it. Right. And so the second assumption is danem efshar mishiyef shar. I can learn something. I can learn a possibility from an impossibility. Now you'll remember earlier this year when we were doing the earlier parts of Zvachim, the Gemara recoiled at that suggestion that you can learn out efshar mishiyef efshar. But over here, Shmuel is comfortable with it. Miluim, ma miluim mosreim b'sreifa vein balechaim b'mosreihem. I've called mosreim b'sreifa vein balechaim b'mosreihem. The iser of nosar, leftover, that's only by meat of a carbon that's already shechted. There's no concept of nosar by a live animal. Meaning, and we learn that by the miluim, because by the miluim, we know exactly what carbonates are brought. There's never such a thing as nosar by the miluim. And so consequently, there's no concept of nosar by a live animal. Meaning, what we know, what happens with nosar? You burn it. If there was such a thing as a carbon which is nosar, an animal that wasn't shechted yet, but it's a carbon, dedicated as a carbon, so I might have thought, well, I don't need this animal anymore, so let me just burn the animal. There's no concept of nosar by a live animal. Where would you ever have nosar by a live animal? So Rashi, Rashi gives us the example. Rashi, fourth wide line down on the page. Rashi says, well, what's an example? Yachishi for shnei karbanos la'achrayus chavaso. Shem yavar ha'achad yizkaper b'sheni. Awi meifrish karban va'avad v'yifrish achar tachtav. A person is a nervous personality. In other words, we all to a certain degree are nervous personalities, right? We all have insurance policies, or hopefully all of us have insurance policies. What if I get an insurance policy on my carbon? Meaning, I said I'm going to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, and I bring one animal, and I'm like, oh, that one animal, what if something happens to that one animal? So I bring a second animal as insurance policy for my first animal. I could do that, right? And now I come to the base of Mikdash and I have two animals, but I only pledged one animal. So here now I offer up one animal. The left second animal is nosar. It's leftover. So maybe, this is the Havamina, maybe I should treat it like regular nosar and burn it.
It's not considered a
tamura. It's not tamura. It's a standby. Okay. Right?
Or if he lost it, then there's another one. It's
the
same thing, no?
Right. Rashi gives that example as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So fine. So I might have thought that I should treat it like no, sir. And from we learn from Miluim is no, I don't. I don't treat it like no, sir. I don't burn it. I know it's even in the Hava, I mean, it's a little bit strange. We're going to burn a live animal. That's okay. It's a little bit bizarre, but fine. And one last thing, what are we going to learn from Shlamim? Pigle. That's what we're going to learn from Shlamim, because the Torah only introduces us to Pigle via the carbon Shlamim. Okay. Good. Enjoyed it? We're going to do it again. We're going to go through the whole this whole process again. We just quoted it in the name of Shmuel. Now we're going to see it in the form of a braisa. And this really will take us almost to the very end of the parak. Here, in Rabbi Akiva's braisa, it's kol asher yigabem yigdash, but not in the chatzas, where we were learning, but by a mincha. But the Gemara says that it's not a redundancy. It's necessary. It's derech. L'mechtav mincha v'itzderech l'mechtav chatas. And we need it. We need the kosher yigabah migdash by carbon chatas, and we need it by mincha. Because the mincha is really soft. Now, should be looking at me right now and saying to me, no, it's not. It's a wafer. It's a cracker. No, it's soft. Right? It's a cracker, right? So we assume that, right? We think of carbon mincha, and I've told you many times, I mean, a carbon mincha is not chametz. Right? Rare exception, there are exceptions, but rare exception is the carbon mincha, which is chametz. Most menachos are matzah. And so you think matzah, and you're thinking now hard, crunchy, and not my favorite. But no, the matzah is soft. You got to think more like pizza.
Good
money. Right, yeah, you really have to think that way. The lechem aponim, just a tidbit, lechem aponim is one tefach thick, and it's not chametz.
Wow.
Yeah, one tefach thick.
I said more.
Yeah. Right.
That's why the forms get really like this.
Yeah, it's not chametz. So ayid derechichem ivla. So even though it's soft, it's going to be boleya. Ava chatas emalo. But if it's chatas, no. The iash mina chatas mishum dekarir ava mincha emalo. And if I would only have chatas mishum dekarir, it's a strange word. Rashi struggles with that word. Rashi gives the French word, right? Phil, you're a trist. I'm not even going to pronounce it correctly. But the point is, Rashi says, "Bitoch shabasar av nechnas besocha shuman beomko." Right? Look, a piece of meat's got fat, and like I discussed earlier this morning, could be that the fat is going to transfer the taste more than wafer. Wafer is not as fatty. Avamincha imalot tzricha. So therefore, they're necessary. Chatas ma chatas einaba ela minachulin uviyom uviyado hayamanis. Okay. In Rebbe Kiva's Braisa, what do we learn out from Chatas? We learn out that, first of all, Chatas has to come from Chulin. Okay. Number two is that you have to, when you apply the blood, you apply it with your finger. It's not a spritz. It's you take your finger, you dip it in the bowl, and you apply it. And with your right finger, yado hayamanis. I've called in a ba'alam in a chulin uveyom of yado hayamanis. V'chatas minalan. And how do I know all this by chatas? I'm Rav Chista Makravi Kriv Aaron is par chatas asher lo. Because when Aaron brings his carbon chatas, it has to be asher lo. It has to come from his own money, right? It's its own checkbook. Mishalo v'lo mishal tzibor. And he cannot dip into communal funds because that money has already been consecrated. It's already been assigned. V'lo mishal meister, and he can't use meister money as well. He's got to use money out of his own pocket. Bayom, the Gemara asks a technical question. We're saying that from the Chatas, we learn it has to be Bayom. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? We already have a pasuk that tells us that all karbanos are done during the day. Yom Tzavaso. Kedei Naspa. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. That part of the Braisa came along for the ride, but that's not really what we're learning from Chatas. Yado yamanis medraba barbachana nafka damar rabba barbachana amar ishlakish kol makub shenamar etzba v'kuhuna eino ela yamin. The Gemara also objects to the fact that we're learning yamin from the carbon Chatas. That's not true. We've established earlier in the Masechta that every single time it says the words kohen and etzba, it refers to the right. So kedei naspa. So again, the Gemara says that part of the brisa just came along for the ride. Ibai sema. Second answer to this question is sevelak Rabbi Shimon damer etzba lo by kahuna, kahuna by etzba. Even though it says kohen, he still needs to say the word etzba. So we need the chatas to teach it to us. Asham. What do we learn out from the carbon? Asham. Asham at masav mutarin. Avkol at masav mutarin. And what we learn out from the carbon ashram is just like the bones of a carbon ashram are mutter, you can use the bones for whatever you want. You can make kalem out of the bones. We discussed earlier, you want to make instruments out of the bone, that's fine. Bones of a carbon ashram are mutter, bones of all carbon ashram are mutter, right? We discussed that, we had the bone talk earlier. Bones of a carbon, even a carbon ola, is neutral. There's no requirement to burn it. If the bones are attached to the meat, then I bring the bones up onto the mizbech. But once the bones become detached, there's no obligation to burn the bones. Bones are neutral. Okay. And we're almost done. Almost done with the perek. This Braisa, Rabbi Kiva, again, did the same thing that Shmuel did, took the super hekesh of Chata Sasham, alright, the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav, and from every carbon we have something to make universal rules out of, and we learn two other carbonists as well. Okay, a little bit more to finish the parak. The parak started off with Dam Chatas, blood of a carbon chatas. We know, we learned it from the beginning of the parak, a little bit of blood falls on your baged, so there's a special halach of kibbutz. Amarava. As we start with the parak, we end with the parak. Pshita li, it is obvious to me. Dam chatas lamata v'dam ola lamala ton kibbutz. Working in the base of Mikdash, I get a number of blood stains. So first stain I get on my shirt is dam chatas. And then on top of that, I get a dam ola over that. So Rava says, that's easy, that's a no-brainer. So that requires kibbutz, because underneath the ola stain is a dam stain, and it went into my clothing, and okay, so I got to do kibbutz. Why Rava? So
they're superimposed, or just they're on top and bottom of the shirt?
One's on top of the other stain. One stain is on top of the other stain.
They're superimposed.
Superimposed one over the other.
But aren't you supposed to wash it immediately? Or
right. Yeah, I mean.
I'm saying it happened simultaneously.
Right, you're walking through the Azara and.
Before you have time to wash,
you're on the way to Kibbutz.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to wash this.
Yeah. Bye, Rava. Dam ola lamata, but dam chatas lamala mahu. So, but the other, let's go the other way. Let's say the first thing that hits your shirt is dam ola. And then dam chatas is imposed over that. So the dam chatas is not, it's on your shirt, but not on your shirt. There's a chatzitza, there's a barrier between the dam chatas and your shirt, and that barrier is dam ola. So, the Rava articulates his question.
What's the point? I don't get it. What's the point of the question?
Point of the question is,
not in the shirt.
He's going to say it. He's going to actually say it. By Rava. Mishum nogeahu v'hanogea odum mishum baluahu v'halabala. When the Torah is demanding that we wash the dam chatas blood out, is it because it's on the shirt, or is it because it's absorbed in the shirt? So Rava says, that's my question. My question is, I want to know, what's the issue? Is the issue blia, or is the issue just simply contact? So Hadar Pasha de Intern and Kibbutz, and his answer after raising the question is, no, it doesn't require kibbutz. Kibbutz, look, we talked about this earlier in the Masecht, or earlier in the Perek. The whole idea of kibbutz is you're running water through it, you're scrubbing it out. It's a stain. A stain that's absorbed into the baget. If it's not absorbed into the baget, even though it's touching the baget, that's not going to be enough. Amarava. Pshita li dama begado chotzeis. Vim tabachu eno chotzeis. Okay, now we're going on to regular rules of chatzitza. Right? Understandably, we're going off on a little bit of a tangent, but it's little. Right? You see where the end of the parak is. So, if you have blood on your beged, so that serves as a chatzitza. Right? Meaning, if your beged becomes tamei, and you want to tovel your beged in the mikvah, so you're going to have to get the blood stain out. However, im tabachu, eino chotzeis. But if you're a butcher, it's not a chatzitza. Why? Because we know the rule. In order for something to be a chatzitza, it has to cover whatever it's covering, and you have to be makbid, meaning you don't want that stain over there. If you're a butcher,
you don't care.
You don't care. You honestly,
you want
right. I'm saying it's part of the uniform. Part of the uniform of the butcher is to have some blood stains. Okay, revav al bigdol. If you have grease on your beged. So generally speaking, grease is going to be a chatzitza. And if you want to tovel your beged in the mikvah, the beged becomes tamei, and you want to tovel in the mikvah, so you got to degrease. V'im mocher revavu. But what if you're a grease salesman?
Grease monkey.
You're a grease seller. You sell grease. So ain't a chotzeis. So then it's not a chatzitza because you're not makpeh. Ba'i rava dam v'ravav al bigdo mahu. Now, again, we're really far off course over here. We're just discussing Hilchos Chatzitza and Mitvah and Tuma Tahara and what's going on. Why? Because this question is similar to the Dam Chatas Dam Ola question. What if you have blood and grease on your baguette? Im tavachu,
typical. You have to find a busher that's
close up. So, yeah, that's what the Gemara is going to say. Typically, mishum ravav, im mishum mocha ravavu, typically mishum dam. So the Lord Tzricha, da avid ha, va ha. So he's both. In other words, he moonlights. He's a butcher, and then, you know.
Change oil in the car.
Right, he's all purpose.
The wagons, the wagon
right?
Greaser.
And if you have two spots of blood that are superimposed, even though you're saying the top is not in touch, is not in contact with the shirt, right? Don't you have to still wash the bottom one anyway?
because of Big Day Kahuna.
Yeah.
The halacha Big Day Kahuna, yes.
Yeah.
But not the special halacha of Kibbutz, but Malcolm Kadosh and
He's a man of all trades.
Well, let's fish in him. So, havaha achadol kapit atarti kapit odilma atarti namelo kapit. So, look, if you're a butcher, you don't mind the blood stains. If you're a grease seller, you don't mind the grease stain. But even if you're both, is that shirt just like oh my gosh, I got blood stains, I got grease stains, I got everything going on over here? And so maybe the Gemara's entertaining, Rav is entertaining. Even though he is both, but that's still too much to handle. It's too much to handle both the grease and the blood. Take what the Gemara leaves. Rava says, I leave that question unresolved. Maybe there is a threshold of hakpada where he's like, it's like he's over the threshold. Even he can't tolerate all those kinds of stains on his shirt. And Rava says, I don't know. Take
it. If he's a slob and it doesn't care, that's okay.
Well, right.
It doesn't have to be.
It's a general discussion. Chatzitza, an objective or subjective
right.
nature.
Right.
Right.
So,
I don't know. From this discussion, it seems to be the Rav is speaking objectively. Okay. Hajon Alachdam Chatas. End of the 11th perek of Zvachim. Tomorrow, God willing, we get together. We begin the 12th perek of Pesachim. Pesachim. Zvachim. Sorry.
Okay.
My mind, it gets to that point, and yeah, and we are three weeks from concluding the Masechta. Wow. V'chanan yimenekashem atzeg shemachu zakhir sofich achir v'mtor mitzvah shenema anecha pitzman zikoy agdil teravi adir.